I think I told you guys the first thing to look over was the Gemara's differentiation of Rav Asi and Rav Ami. In other words, we demonstrated yesterday that the first step is that the Kohen goes up during Ritzei because it's an indicator that, in other words, he's part of the Avoda, so to speak. Birkas Kohanim comes in the Avoda. And I want to say that he differentiates himself from the Tzibor as a result. In other words, by being Oker Raglav, he's demonstrating that now he's no longer part of this group, and now he's part of this group of Kohanim. Okay? But you have this weird thing where the Gemara seems to first indicate that he has one opportunity to do this. Like, as soon as the guy says Ritzei, he's got to get up there. And if he misses Ritzei, it's too late. And then the Gemara says, no, you see, for Rav Avi and Rav Asi, that's not the case. That he has, the Kohen has until the front, until he finishes Birchas Avoda. So while he should start, the point, it's not about the starting point, it's about making sure he gets there by the time of, Birchas Avoda is over. Okay? It says, Shaloshanu Ela Kishlo Akar as Raglav. Akar as Raglav, Ola. As long as they separated their feet and started walking, so then it's considered good. So I just want to know what that differentiation is. That he must be up there, right, before the Shliach Tzibor finishes the Birchas Avoda. Yes. No, he's got to be up there. Okay, meaning by the time he finishes the Ritzei, he's got to be ready to rock and roll. Okay, but then the Gemara says, and if he misses that, he can't go. Right, so the Gemara says, Eini, we'll skip ahead a little bit. He says, Eini, Vaharab, Ami, Vervasis. The Havin is saying that they have to be up at the Dukhan, right? Up there, right? By the time the Kohen, by the time the Shliach Tzibor finishes Ritzei. Okay, when he says Amachas Yishchan Tzion, if you didn't get up there, right? You can't do it. Okay. Whereas according to the Maskana, you see Ravami Ravasi, that's not what happened, right? You see they still Dukhan, even though they got up there after the Siyam of Birchas Avoda. But any time before they say the word Kohanim. So I would say you want to be hyperbolic, like they were standing right next to where Sean's davening, right? And as Sean said, Baruch Atah Hashem Atov Shimcha, they took one step forward onto the Dukhan, bam, it's still good. Okay, but they could do that because what did they do? They were back there. And so they worked their way up to the shul really slow, the front of the shul really slowly. So let's say a hyperbolic case. Cohen starts at, let's say, Ritzei. He tiptoes his way out to the front, right, taking his time, but he's walking the entire time. Until Sean gets to Atov Shimcha and then takes the final step, right? It's good. So again, the point of contention is going to be around Birchas Avoda. Meaning, is it that the Siyum of Birchas Avoda at that point the Kohen can't come up anymore, or do we say no? As long as he started walking up at some point during Birchas Avoda, he's good to go. Okay, everyone agrees at that point. There has to be some movement and the time of Birchas Avoda. The only question is, does the final step of Birchas Avoda, does the finality of Birchas Avoda mean the Kohen has to be at the front, or no? Okay? Like, is it enough that he started walking, or no, he has to actually finish his march up to the Dukhan at the same time that Birchas Avoda is completed? Okay? Very interesting. I like that. So, see, David, it was good you gave it over. Okay. And let's take Klar's way. Klar's saying and there's according to the Havamina, what happens? So now, he has to produce a positive chaloshem. I am Kohen, ready for avoda, right? And that can only happen during when the zman avoda is being set over by the shliach tzibur. So that's a positive chaloshem Kohen. Versus saying that no, as long as he differentiates himself through walking up, he's demonstrating he's no longer part of the tzibur, right? That's one way of looking at it. Whereas David's saying that no, you can say there's two ways you can look at someone as being part of a group. Do they have to do something positive that shows that they're no longer part of the group? Or is it like a positive, I am not you, right, which has to take place at Avoda? Or is it no, once they start walking up, they're demonstrating they're not part of the group anymore? But it doesn't mean that they have a positive chaloshem. Either way you go, right, you're both looking for a positive chaloshem. The difference is you're looking for a positive chaloshem that's more tied to his role as a Kohen. You're looking for a positive chaloshem so far as what it means to be separate from a group. Very interesting. So now skip ahead to what says Amar Ada. Amar Rav Simlai. Kohanim. The Dukhan. Stop. Okay. So the classic case is the classic case, right? You have a minion. It's a minion of Kohanim. That's it. You have 10 Kohanim. Now what? Now what do you do? Okay. Now what do you do? So the Gemara says, you would think that what? That all of them have to go up in Dukhan and Dukhan, except for one problem. Who are they Dukhaning to? So the Gemara says, Lemi Mevarchim. So who exactly? It's very funny, Gemara's question. Who's being Mekabel the Bracha?
But you didn't already say that
Why? What makes this an excellent question? We've established it up to now. We've established that, like, remember that Rambam, right? There's this whole, there's it's like a play. There's a theater taking place, so to speak. There's the prompt, there's the response, right? And there's the back and forth between the Shliach Tzibor and the Kohanim. And the idea is, and remember, and it's, I know, but the Tzibor is supposed to be, what do you call it, part of this very process. The Tzibor itself. Not through all Kohanim. Why not? Why not? I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Logistics. Oh, logistics are my concern right now. Let's not worry about logistics. So the Gemara says, "Lemi mevarchin." Who are they giving a bracha to? So keep going, Sean. Keep going. Amar of Zira. Shibasados. All right. So who's the bracha going on? The basically, which means what? No, no, don't go that far. Make it simple. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. The guys who could make it to shul, right? So let's say, not know about that, but they could make it to shul, right? So the Gemara is saying at this point, the Gemara is saying that they could still go to duchen. Why? Because they can include even people who aren't there. Okay, so there's no one there in the shul, so they can include the guys who make it to shul. But yeah, but one second, I'll take what Yosef said before. Doesn't this violate the whole idea of panim upon him and everything we talked about at this point in time? It seems like a critical part of Birkas Kohanim is the experiential of Kohanim and Tzibor, and now you don't have that. Okay. Oh, so that detail, because the Mikdash there was no Amen. So it's not like right. Okay. It's okay. If I'm saying, but the Gemara's not bothered by that. The Gemara just wants to know there's no one receiving. Okay. Wait. So Sean, just go a little further. So Aini. Okay, so now watch the Gemara pivots ever so slightly. Okay, Gemara is going to try to create an equivalency now. All right, what's the equivalency? The Gemara says, Ha'am. Okay, so you didn't know this ahead of time. I mean, I think you guys do this probably, right? But in other words, this is the first Gemara's mention of this idea, which is that, as you know, when you do Birkas Kohanim, no one can be standing in the front, meaning. There's, and so wherever you stand, it's right. This is a credit. I think I mentioned this guy, this past Shabbos. It's a big problem where I daven because I'm not going to get into. I'll tell you the Mimonashach in a second, but I daven this like front porch, right? And this guy lives across the street, and he's not a Kohen. And so when it comes down to Birkas Kohanim, he just stays on his side of the street. He's clearly behind us. Now Mimonashach, if he's part of the minion, he's behind us. If he's not part of the minion, so what's he coming out front for? You know what I mean? Like he's not benefiting at all. But it's a big problem. It's so important. I mean, it's clear. It's halacha. The people have to be the people have to be in front of the Kohanim when the Kohanim give the bracha.
Okay. Exactly.
Whoa, you'll see. Hold on. But for now, that's Gemara's going to nitpick at this. But now let me ask you a question. Now, what's the equivalency the Gemara's created here?
I guess it's behind the Kohanim, like the people in the fields, they can also be behind the Kohanim.
Right.
You're saying they're being blessed, like some places you
can't. No, I understand that, but I'm just saying, you're right. You jump one step. In other words, right, behind them is the equivalent of being in the fields, okay? I mean, the Gemara is trying to set up an equivalency. It's like people not in the shul is no different, so to speak, at this point, that you would think there's people behind the Kohanim. Because either way, what would you argue? You'd say they're not getting the bracha, right? Right, so the Gemara says, in other words, the Gemara is saying, I don't understand. You're telling me the guys in the fields, right? If the guys in the fields can get the bracha, so then why is there, guys, if the guys in the field get the bracha, why is there concern at all about Achorei Kohanim? In other words, okay. Let's say there's five people behind the Kohanim while they're duchening, okay. And then let's say there's 10 people right over there in the fields, okay. Why is it that the people in the fields get the bracha who are behind the Kohanim, but the people actually behind the Kohanim don't get it? Does it make any sense? Because if the bracha's beams can go anywhere, right? So why? What's the difference, right? Delo anisi. Okay. So what does that mean?
They are busy with their compulsion to not be there.
Right. Amazing, right? In other words, if I can't make it to shul because I got to get to work, so then I'm honest, and therefore I would be included in the bracha. But if I'm in shul, right, and I can, if I wanted to, be in front of the Kohanim and I choose not to, then I can't get the bracha. Now, that's even more bizarre. First of all, it shows you, by the way, how as much as there's a philosophical idea of Birkas Kohanim, it's clearly a halachic institution, because ultimately, if it were just an idea of like particles like in the air, going waves going everywhere, then who cares, right? Who cares where the people are? But it's an amazing thing that the Gemara, I mean, that's what you love about halacha. You make this kind of, this really nitpicky distinction that, well, they were in shul, but didn't go in front of the Kohanim, right? So they lose out. But if you couldn't make it to shul, even though you're a million miles away, you can still gain from it. Well, we just got to finish the Gemara. Just the facts. Okay, so now the Gemara says, not so fast, right? There's another brisa that seems to indicate that if you have 10 Kohanim, right, you split them up. Some go up in Duchen and some answer Amen. So this way you retain the reality of the Panim upon him, but now you run into a different problem. Before you go on the Gemara, what's the problem now?
Well, some Kohanim don't go up. Isn't there like a...
It's worse. Okay, that's true. That's true. Yeah, but no one can see them, though, because no Yisrael in there. No. What?
Meaning it goes back to the Gemara we said before, like not going up during the, what's it called?
Okay, that's also true. Oh, fine. I'll buy that. Now, ultimately, how could a Kohen be the recipient? I can understand how the Kohen's included in the bracha, right? As Kohen. How could a Kohen like divorce himself from his role and now become Tzibor? He can't do that. He's chayav to do Birkas Kohanim. So that's an amazing idea that Chazal is suggesting, that he gives up his daraisa, so to speak, to become the recipient. Or let me put it a different way. Has the Kohen fulfilled his mitzvah Birkas Kohanim being in the Tzibor as a recipient?
Yeah. I guess I'll make...
Which means what? Technically speaking, it's more than 10 Kohanim. Okay.
We're talking about 12 or 11. Meaning, is it 11 and you have one going up and 10 in the audience?
In other words, if you have more than 10 Kohanim, okay, so then what you can say is that that some of them can go up to Duchen, and there'll still be 10 Kohanim left to hear the bracha and say Amen. Okay. So in this case where you have, let's say you have 15 Kohanim, okay, 5 will go up to Duchen and 10 will listen. But whereas when it comes to Lo Yishtar Be'asara, where you don't have 10 Kohanim in the shul, right, which would end up happening that if some of them went up, you wouldn't have 10 people to answer, then in that situation, then they all go up to be Mevarach. So again, it's a little counterintuitive, but it goes like this. Yeah. If there's only 10 Kohanim, right, so what's going to happen? Let's say 5 went up and 5 stayed in the Tzibor. Now you don't have a Tzibor answering. Okay, that's a problem. You need 10, you need a minion answering. So in that case, better they all go up in Duchen than have 5 Duchening and 5 answering. Forget the field guys. Those we're going to get back to that. Yeah, it's empty. The field guys are included. Okay, but if there's 15 Kohanim, 5 can go up and 10 can be in Tzibor. Okay.
Well, if there's only 5
left over, then you would have thought that when it says base Knesset Shekul Kohanim Kulan Olin, the Gemara says who are they giving a bracha to? Right, meaning what the Gemara think? What the Gemara think? You need people. Well, just forget them. Right? You mean see what you mean? You need an audience. You need an audience. You can't duck him with there's no audience. Kamash Malah. No, you don't need an audience. You can have the people in the fields included. Okay.
Right. So that minion was 10
Kohanim. Basically, that's a Shakula Kohanim.
Meaning, but 10.
Yes.
Agrees with
Rebbe. Yes, I know, but I'm saying for now it is going to be 10. But just make it simple. The minion is only Kohanim. So the Gemara's Havamina was that you would think that when it comes to if there's no audience, there's no Birkas Kohanim. Right, Kamash Malan, that no, even if there's no audience, they can still duchen because there's always people who couldn't make it to shul. Okay, now you can, if you want, you can slide in the next point, which is that, you know, then why would it work? Why doesn't it work by the achore, you know, the people going behind the coin? But whatever. So what's the first step to take here? What do you say? So we have to go back now. We have to go back to an earlier point. This is something, my bias on the table. I love when there are certain themes that constantly course their way through Gemara. Recall, we discussed in the beginning the idea of Birkas Kohanim being different kind of bracha. Okay. Now, obviously, the first step is going to be, I mean, to me, pshita, the first step is going to be there's who's the bracha birkas kohanim for? Who are you blessing? The people here, right? So if there's no people here, when I make a bracha, right? Your bracha, like let's say when, if you want to use a Torah example or a bracha on food, I don't care which one. Like Torah, v'maki tzedek, baruch atah Hashem, you're addressing God, right? I know you can't see God, but you're addressing God. Baruch atah Hashem, b'rei priya eitz. I'm addressing this apple, okay? There's something to address. If birkas kohanim is like any other bracha, who it's being addressed to, but there's no one here. There's no one in the room who's it addressed to, okay? So clearly what the Gemara is saying is that, no, really the bracha is really for, this is where you and I are going to differ. It's for Am Yisrael, okay? The bracha is for Am Yisrael. It's not for the audience in front of you. The bracha was set up for Bnei Yisrael, right? That all Bnei Yisrael receive this bracha. What? It does. Well, what's that? Hold on. No. Just let me finish, okay? In other words, the bracha was set up in a way that every time the Kohanim do Birkas Kohanim, all of Bnei Yisrael, so to speak, are recipients of it. But here's the thing. The problem in Shul is that, I think it was what Yosef was saying. In other words, Yosef is targeting the point upon him, meaning what's happening, and I think, Gana, you were saying this before, what are people doing in Shul? What are they doing? If they go behind the coin, they're removing themselves from being part of Bnei Yisrael. In other words, in order to be recipient of the bracha, it's not that I have to be there, I just can't do, again, positive, negative, I just can't do anything to remove myself from being part of the Am. How do I remove myself from being part of the Am? By going behind the Kohanim. I'm doing an act that demonstrably separates me from being a recipient, right? This is the paradigm shift in Birkas Kohanim. You would think that Birkas Kohanim is like any other bracha, and therefore I have to address it to this group of recipients, okay? But that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that no, every time Birkas Kohanim is done, it really includes everybody, right? Because naturally speaking, you're always a recipient of the bracha. I just can't do something that demonstrates I'm not upon him, that I'm not a recipient. How do I do that? By going behind the Kohanim. I'm demonstrating that I'm not part of the Kohanim, I'm part of the bracha anymore. So then the Gemara says, Valhatani Rav Shimi. Right, so what does he say? But he says, one second, what do you see? You see by a shul where let's say it's 10 Kohanim, you split them up, right? 5 and 5, let's say, right? That seems like a problem, because the first case is all the Kohanim go up in Dochen. This one seems to imply you split them up. So the Gemara says, very strange. It's very counterintuitive. The Gemara says, no. The Gemara says that if you have 20 Kohanim, let's say, or whatever, 15 Kohanim, so then five Dochen and 10 stay in the Tzibur. If you have 10 Kohanim only, right, so then all the Kohanim go up in Dochen. But we all know that if you have 10 people, 8 Yisraelim and 2 Kohanim, everyone agrees to 2 Kohanim and Dochen. So what's this idea? I mean, the hard part here is, why would you say that when you have 10 Kohanim, that they should all Dochen? In other words, like why? Like that's the hard part. In other words, if you have 15, very nice. 5 go up in Dochen, 10 Kohanim reign in the audience. That's strange because they're recipients now, but whatever. If I have 10 people, if I have 20 people in shul, right? Let's say I have 18 Kohanim and 2 Yisraelim, all 18 Kohanim go up in Dochen. Even though, you know, there won't be, a minion of people listening. But if I have only 10 Kohanim, they all go up in Dochen. Meaning for some reason I can't split the Kohanim up to have a 2-8 ratio, let's say, but I can by Yisraelim and Kohanim. Why? Why is that the case?